Welcome to the Good Vibes Club, a normal girl's guide to living your best life and being the best version of yourself. Whether you're listening on a commute, out on a hot girl walk, or curled up on your sofa, sit tight and get ready to feel those good vibes. Hello guys, how are we doing? Welcome back to another episode and the beginning of a new year. Oh my goodness, can we believe that it's 2024? Because I honestly can't. I don't know where 2023 went. I feel like we're still in 2019. I don't understand how the last 4 years have flown by as quickly as they have, but I'm so ready to jump into a new year and just really experience all of the things. Christmas was quite a stressful time. I don't know if you've seen on my Instagram, but we actually hosted Christmas for quite a few people. So we had seven of us in my two-bedroom flat. And the day before Christmas, I got struck down with a very sudden, dramatic sickness. And I don't really know what it is. I've been to the doctors. I was half alive when I went to the doctors, but I was completely wiped out for the entirety of the Christmas break. I honestly couldn't get off the sofa. I couldn't get out of bed. I was in the bath 24/7. I just couldn't do anything. Like, I was honestly a zombie, and I don't really know what happened, but it made Christmas seem very long and it was very boring for me. So I think I kind of need a redo. I'm thinking January, I might give myself a fake Christmas and just enjoy some new festivities. And I think a lot of people will be joining me in that because it seems like everyone was sick this year. Everyone I know knows at least one other person that was ill, and it wiped out a few people in my family too. So if you are anything like me, I think we deserve a Christmas 2.0 for 2023. So I'm going to make that a holiday, and some point in January I'm going to give myself another Christmas, any excuse for a roast dinner. But honestly, I hope you've had a lovely break and I hope you're ready to take on the new year. My good vibe of the week is definitely coming back to the podcast. I had a couple of weeks off because of being sick, and it feels so good to be back behind the microphone and just recording a podcast and feeling those good new year vibes. I think this year specifically I have really struggled getting back into work mode, but I've really embraced the change of a new year. And I sat with my friends the other day and did my vision board, which if you want to get the vision board course, that's still on my website. You can still buy that whenever you want to and make a vision board. You don't have to just do it at the beginning of a new year. But we sat down and did our vision boards together, and we burnt some Palo Santo, which is my favorite scent in the world. And it was a really nice experience because we didn't necessarily tell each other everything that was going on our vision boards, because I do think they're a very personal thing, and I don't think that you need to share everything that's going on your vision board because it's your personal dreams and goals. But it was nice to just sit together and like laugh and joke about certain things and help each other out with what to write or what pictures to add and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, I really enjoyed it. And it was nice to do it with the girls and just feel a little bit more inspired than if I was just sitting and doing it by myself. So really recommend doing that. I have to admit, I do feel very inspired by my board and everything on there I'm so excited for. And it's the first year ever. In fact, no, it's not the first year ever. I'd say the last few years it's been progressively getting more this way, but I don't really add material things to my boards. It's definitely more of like a feeling. So I've just got various different bits and pieces on there which are more to do with like health and like career goals and financial goals and all that kind of stuff. I guess you could say financial is materialistic, but I mean, there's no like car I want or bag I want or anything like that on there. It's just more of like a bit of everything else, which if you are in the vision board course, you'll know I'm big on setting goals in various aspects, not just sticking to wanting things like a house and a car and stuff. So anyway, did that, made me really inspired. Work is taking slightly longer to get into. I think I just had such a big time off and so much stress at the end of last year to round things off that it's just taking a little while, but that's okay. We don't need to wake up on the first and suddenly feel full of energy and ready to go. We are allowed to give ourselves a little bit of time off, especially if you've been sick. We need that time off. My theme of 2024 is saving money. So I thought, what better way to kick off the year than with a savings video, because we're in the savings girl era. I've had my crazy spending eras, I've had my travel girl eras. Now we are in let's get financially savvy and learn about our money and put our money into good places. So that's where 2024 is taking me. If you're ready for the ride, then hop in. We're going to get going. But this all got sparked by various different things. So for one, wanting to just make sure that I'm saving for a house because James and I are looking to buy when mortgage rates and stuff go down. I also want to make sure I've got a rainy day fund so that when it comes to potential occasions that money might be needed and for whatever reason I either can't work or something happens that we need an emergency fund, I just want to know that I've got that. I want to start investing more in stocks and shares. So I'm currently learning a lot about stocks and shares and where to put my money to let it grow for the future rather than obviously just spending it right now. Thinking about things like generational wealth, so how to make money up that's going to benefit my children in the future. Thinking about my pension and later life and how I'm going to help myself in the future, because right now I'm probably earning as much as I'm going to earn in my lifetime, as in between now and probably about 60 is my money making years. So I've got about 20, to be honest, by the time we get to 60, it's probably going to be 70 that we can retire. So I've got about 30 to 40 money making years left. And I really want to make sure that those money making years, I'm making really good financial decisions and making sure that my money is going into places that I know are going to benefit me in the future. So things like making sure that I put money into a pension, which I do quite a lot. If you are self-employed or if you are an influencer or a freelancer, please, 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 please look into getting a pension. I currently have a Nest pension, which is at the time of looking, one of the best ones that you could get if you're self-employed. But I highly recommend looking into pensions because self-employed girlies, you do not get a pension. You get the state pension, which is really, really low. So make sure that you are thinking about that, because I know we're young, we don't have to think about a pension, we've got 40 odd years before we need it, but I really recommend looking into it, because when we get to that age and we've got no money to live on, we're going to regret not doing the saving right now. So I've been paying into mine since about 2018 and I highly recommend getting on board with it. It's something that I'm really passionate about sharing because it's so important, but let's just really think about our financial futures. So they're my kind of whys, alongside obviously making sure I'm buying the house. Mortgage rates are very high at the moment, so we've kind of come to an agreement that we're going to just save money with no end date. So we're just going to keep putting money away, saving up, and then when mortgage rates drop a little bit, we're going to start really focusing on finding the house that we want, which is quite nice because the place I'm in at the moment, or the place that we're both in at the moment, sorry, is so beautiful. It's such a gorgeous flat. My landlords are so lovely. They're really, really great women. And it's just nice to know that we're in somewhere that isn't too expensive, that we know is being looked after. We know our landlords quite well now and they fix everything really easily. We're just in a really comfortable position. So it means that we've got the luxury of, obviously, hopefully in the future, I don't know if this is going to stay the case, but I know that my landlords don't want to sell this flat. So I know that we could just be here as long as we need to. And we've got the luxury of then finding somewhere that fits perfectly rather than finding somewhere that just fits the time crunch that we have. So it's quite nice because it means that by the point of buying, if we just keep saving, 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 we will end up having a bigger pot together, which means we can renovate if we buy an older property, or we could put more money down initially, etc. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I'm not giving myself a time frame to buy a house. I'm just kind of letting it happen when it happens and just saving up the money for now. I also want to pay off my credit card. It's not huge, but I want to get the balance down to zero and then just keep it for emergencies. I did use it a little bit last year, but it's nothing dramatic. Like, it's a very, very low amount. I just really want to make sure that I'm paying it off so that I've got it if I ever need it for anything at all. I highly doubt I'm ever going to like need it, but you know, just credit cards are just a nice security blanket, aren't they? They're like a nice fallback to know that you've got it and then you can just use it in the future. I actually got mine to improve my credit score, ironically, because I'm probably ruining my credit score by the fact I'm not paying it off very quickly, but it's a really good way to do that. And I also have the Amex one, so it helps with points towards flying and companion vouchers and stuff. So it's kind of a bit of saving money at the same time. But let's get into the no buy. So I really wanted to talk to you about a no buy challenge because I've seen them all over the internet and I've seen people do year long, month long, 100 days, various different types of this challenge. And I really recommend that you go away and research it a little bit further on YouTube if it's something you're interested in. But it's a great concept that's been kind of created online. I don't know where it originated from, but I feel like people have just come up with this challenge to try and save some money, and it's done really well and people have been successful, and that's how it's ended up. blowing up to the point where it has. But the kind of premise of a no-buy month is exactly that. It's that you don't buy anything that is not essential. There is also low buy months that you can do where you set yourself a budget. I guess mine, when I start explaining it to you, you're going to realize I'm kind of doing a low buy. However, it is technically a no buy. But the idea is that you analyze your spending habits, that you cut back all of the costs that you don't need to spend, you look at what's essential, what's not essential, and you just really refine your spending to see how much money you spend on an everyday basis, and to be able to work out how to make your financial future better. So the one big thing that I've seen people saying as a rule, you want to first analyze your spending habits. So work out what your monthly essential outgoings are. Look at everything that comes out as a subscription, as a bill, as rent, whatever it is that is an every month spend. Now, this actually shocked me when I did it because I forgot things like Amazon Prime or Now TV, then you've got Hey You, then you've got Netflix, then you've got Disney Plus, then you've got apps for editing pictures and all these kind of things. And there's so many random little amounts, even if it's like a fiver or a tenner, that come out every month that I just wanted to cut. So James and I both have Amazon Prime. We don't both need Amazon Prime for the same household. So what I'm going to suggest to him is to one of us get rid of Amazon Prime, and then we can both just use the same one. And then we both just pay like £3 or whatever it is each per month, saving us £7. That's to me a really savvy way to make it work. Also things like Netflix and stuff, it definitely pays if you live with someone else to split those bills in half. I'm assuming you would anyway, but really think about the platforms that you use. So we've actually just talked about getting rid of our Disney Plus and our Now TV. I use Hey You. That's my little reality fix. I don't use it all the time, but when like Beverly Hills or something comes back, it becomes an essential again. This month it's an essential. Vanderpump Rules is coming back. If you know, you know. Vanderpump Rules is my life. I cannot flipping wait. I binged the entire 10 series in about a month and a half last year, and I'm determined to sit and enjoy every second of the Tom Sandoval drama when it comes back. So we're really trying to just cut costs here. The basic premise is just to make sure that you really deep dive into your finances. And I know that's scary, but sometimes confronting yourself with your finances is the best thing you can do, and really looking at what comes out every month, because you might be shocked. I was shocked, and I am shocked, and I have been cutting back on different things. But the app spends and the random subscriptions to things, I didn't realize how much money I was spending on those every month, because in my head I was thinking, oh, you know, I've got my car finance, my phone, I've got my pension that comes out every month, and I've got my like regular rent and bills, and that's it. But I didn't think about the fact that I had so many other things. So cutting all of those is definitely a really good place to start, because not only are you then saving yourself every month, but I think you'll be shocked by the outgoings when you really do look at them, because I think we all just kind of blissfully sign our lives away when it comes to like a quick £2 a month app purchase, but those add up really quickly. And the next thing that's suggested in the rules, I say rules lightly because I've kind of watched many, many, many videos and put together the rules based on like the overall what everyone is saying. However, these are not like dead set rules. These are just the rules to kind of guide you when you do a challenge. But a lot of them were saying that if you have a set monthly salary, work out a figure every month that you can afford to save. Now, I would say this is going to be a really good one to do after you've worked out your monthly outgoings, because if you are cutting some of those subscriptions, you could make those that amount into what you then save. So say, for example, you're cutting £40 worth of subscriptions. You know that you can afford to put that £40 into savings because you've been spending it for months and not noticing. So that kind of thing is a good way to make sure that you're popping away a little bit of cash every month. But make sure that it's not a figure that is going to make you struggle. So you might sit and think, oh, you know, I've got £500 left every month and that's a really good amount, so I'm going to save £400. That might not be realistic on an everyday month when you are going out with friends for dinner or you're doing different things. So maybe be realistic with it and just think, okay, start with 200. And if you don't notice the 200, then you can up the amount a little bit more. Apps like Plum are really good for this. You can use Plum for free, but it basically will pocket different amounts for you. So you can set it. I actually have it on Monzo as well since. But Plum is a really good one if you don't use Monzo, because you can put away different amounts every month and it will like round up for you, or you can set it so it's a rainy day fund. So every time it rains, it puts away an amount. You can set it to like pocket money that you don't notice as well. So there's like different levels. I think I've got mine set on beast mode, or I did have. I don't currently use it, but you can set it to set aside like different amounts that you won't notice disappearing, and then it saves for you. Monzo do similar. So I have a savings pot on Monzo. I actually set it up just before I did this challenge, and now I'm using it for the challenge, and it's called Rich Bitch Energy. And I can't touch it until I think I set it as something ridiculous like 2030. But every time I spend money on my Monzo card, it rounds up the money, and then all of the extra bit to make it up to like a pound will then go into the savings account. It's not the most amount ever, every time. It's obviously really low amounts, but all those little amounts add up really nicely, and it just helps to save money a little bit quicker. So things like that are a really good way to save if you are like me and you find it a bit harder to find like a set amount. I do find being self-employed or freelance or a small business owner makes this considerably harder. I understand that because I'm in that boat. But what I would say is, if you are unable to say an exact figure you can say every month and put that into a savings pot, maybe think about a set amount of money that you need to make each month to fund yourself. So, say for example, you have your rent and your bills and stuff comes to, I'm just going to speak really randomly because I'm so bad at maths, but if you have like £1,000 that is your like, I need this money to pay my bills and my rent, then you know that if you make an extra £500, that can be your play money. You could say to yourself, right, if I make over £1,500 in a month, I'm going to put away X percent, or whatever you decide works for you. So you could say, okay, well, any money I make after £1,500, I'm going to save 20% into an account for my savings. Does that make sense? I hope this makes sense, because I know I'm kind of talking in riddles a little bit sometimes. I am a massive waffler. We know this. That's why I started a podcast. But basically, working out what you can afford to save as an amount. Now, that's not the overarching premise of a no buy. This is obviously just working out like longer term financial goals. So let's get into the nitty gritty, the no buy month. Let's assume you're doing a month, because I'm doing a month. I'm doing the whole of January with no spending at all. And the general premise and rules of this is that you do not spend on anything that is not deemed an essential. So your essentials will be things like groceries, rent, bills for your home, petrol, and anything that is an essential for you to live your everyday life. So obviously, there's certain things work-wise that are different for all of us, or if you've got children, etc., etc. So whatever is not deemed as an essential to you, you don't spend on it. So no buying things like beauty appointments or clothes that aren't essential or takeaways or going to the cinema with your friends or, you know, those extra snacks that you throw into the food shop because you like a little treat in the evening. Those things are all considered as a want. And I would even go as far as saying like haircuts and stuff, because you're only doing it for a month. So if you could last an extra month without getting your hair cut, I would advise doing it. I actually cancelled a beauty appointment to do this no buy. So I cancelled my hair appointment. My greys are poking through, gals. Dyeing my hair darker and allowing it to grow out. My God, I have noticed the greys. I didn't realise how grey my hair is going until I let it grow out, because blonde covers a lot more than you think. So I've postponed it. I've postponed my beauty appointment to February. And if I can try and find a way to keep my hair still looking a little bit balayage but dye it myself, you bet I'm doing it. I'm gonna try. So I recommend anything that is a want, avoiding. That's the whole premise of a no buy. So you buy the essentials, but anything that is a want and not a need, you do not buy. Now, this also leads into things like limiting your grocery shop. So I've seen people online giving really good advice on grocery shopping. So I don't know about you, but I do a weekly shop, which is for me and my partner. We decide the meals that we want together in the evenings. He decides on his lunches for work. I decide on mine. We have breakfast and stuff that we both like. And we put together a food shopping list. We go to the supermarket once a week. We do our shop, and that lasts us for the entire week. We do end up with some bits that roll over, which is fab, because obviously then the next week you can include bits and stuff like that. But we also do this slightly different. But we also do the mini shops. So sometimes we'll be in the gym, for example, and we'll decide that on the way home we need to pop in and buy some potatoes, or we really need some squash because we've run out of squash. All the little mini shops add up. So things like the grocery shop, while they are essential, you need to really think about things like this, because I know that I'm awful for deciding on impulse that I need to go to Aldi to buy blueberries or something. So I think a really good way to do this that I've seen is going for cheaper brands, is meal planning. So making sure that you've got like a set meals that you want to have every day so that you can make sure you've got things. I also had a little look into my cupboards as well. So I worked out what I've already got that I could make meals with. So we have quite a lot of tuna in the cupboard. So we're going to make sure that we make a tuna pasta a couple of times. That then uses up what we've already got, so we don't have to buy more. Looking for things on offer is a really good way to do this. Buying frozen if you've got the space, because the food lasts longer. So frozen veggies and like broccoli and stuff is a really good one to get. I also recommend having a look if you've got any club card or Nectar vouchers, if you shop at either of the supermarkets that use them. It helps a lot if you are, you know, buying stuff and you've maybe got a £2.50 voucher or something, because you can put it towards your shop. It also gives you points and then get more vouchers in the future. And one thing I've been really conscious of is making sure that shops that I use regularly, I keep the cards for them or the accounts, because for a really long time, I didn't have a Costa app or a Starbucks app or a Boots reward advantage card, or whatever it's called. And I was missing out on so many points. So I've made an effort to make sure that I have those things. And then I have the app like QR thing into my wallet or my phone. So I don't have a million and one apps, but I've got the little like card scanny thing. And not only is it really good because you are obviously getting points, but my Starbucks and my Costa apps, I've got free coffees, which I can use when I want a little something and I don't want to spend any money. So little things like that, it's kind of giving you rewards for using those shops that you were already using. So I definitely recommend having a look into getting the apps if you don't already. You don't have to keep the app. You can get like I can't remember what it's called, but there's a certain app that is like a virtual wallet that keeps all of your other apps like into it, but it's not the wallet on your iPhone. I don't know. I can't remember. I just use my iPhone wallet. But different things like that are really great. Then you can make your own rules. So the rules, obviously, as I've explained already, is analysing your monthly spending, working out what is essential and what isn't essential, what you can get rid of, working out an amount that you could afford to save every month is one of the big ones here. Not spending on anything except essentials. Now, I know this sounds like you're going to be getting a really boring month, but I promise you're not, because not only is this a good way to have nights in with friends, so you could maybe all come together into a house and find a movie on Netflix you want to watch instead of going to the cinema, or you could just make a meal together and you all bring a different thing, or like bring a board nights and that kind of thing. Same with date nights. You could just have a date night at home instead. You can go for walks. There's so many things you can do that don't require spending excess money. And it's a good way to just kind of work out what those things are. So a lot of the time, if I see my big group of friends, I have like mini groups of friends, but I like to bring them together quite a lot. And we have a lot of girls' nights at mine. So what I'll tend to do is to get everyone to my house so that we're not spending any money, because obviously everyone's driving to me or whatever. So we're having a night in. We do an activity sometimes. So we did candle painting near Christmas. It was £2.70 each to do the candle painting. And then sometimes we get takeaway, or we'll all club together and we'll get pizzas or something. So, you know, if you go into the supermarket, you get like the fresh and the frozen pizzas and it'll be like £2 for £10 or something. We'll club together and we'll get pizzas so that we're all spending less money than we would if we went out for dinner or if we ordered takeaway. Fab way to do it. And it's also quite fun because you get loads of different ideas for things to do at home. And TikTok is such a good place for looking for like girls' nights ideas and stuff, because there's so many on there. And I highly recommend, because we've been doing a few of them and it's been really, really fun. So we made gingerbread houses together. We've done candle painting. I think this time we said we're going to find something else to do, but it's really, really fun. And it means you're in your comfies. So we normally do them in our pajamas and you're not spending as much as you would be if you went out. So highly recommend. But alongside those, as I said, you can set yourself rules. So each of these videos that I've been watching, there's an overarching theme in the rules. So like everyone has the kind of same rules that they stick to, but then you can set your own. So I thought I would set my own that you guys might like to take part in. I've made this into a TikTok series and it's gone down quite well so far. But I've got a couple of little things that I am considering rules for my no buy that I think you might want to hear about. And then one that's kind of a big one, which is an exception to my no buy, which I'll explain when we get there. So rule number one is I'm allowing myself an £150 spending pot for the month, which is for non-essential essentials. Now, that sounds crazy, I know, but I mean the things that you can't avoid that are essential, but not technically an essential to living your life. So I have a friend's baby shower this month, I have a family birthday, and I have a candlelight Taylor Swift orchestra with some friends. It was £15. I'm so excited. I can't actually wait. And that's already money that was spent in December. So I don't count it as being like in my January spending because I've already spent the money. But this £150 is for those things. Now, this is not that I need to spend that whole £150. The aim is for me to spend as little of that as possible, but it means that I can buy a baby shower gift for my friend and pay for the lunch. I can go out for dinner for my family member's birthday that's in January, and I don't have to feel bad about dipping in because I've already put that £150 aside as a spending pot. Obviously, the less I spend of that, the better, because then I can save it. But that's my little pot for things like that. Or if I maybe have meetings in London all day and I need to get the train into London, the money can come out of that. Or if I maybe like really need a lunch and I haven't had time to get lunch and I'm running around like a headless chicken doing something somewhere, I can get it out of that. I'm going to try and spend as little of that as possible, but that is my like emergency for non-essential essentials. And then I decided, you know what, we're going to go one step further. So you know how I just mentioned my rich bitch energy pot? Well, rich bitch energy is going to be where I save all of the money when I try and spend it. So I am currently on the 4th of January, I nearly said December then, when I'm recording this. And I got sucked into Kindle Talk, Book Talk. I love it. It's my favourite thing. It's just been a Stuff Your Kindle Day, which if you don't know what that is, it actually kind of goes hand in hand with this episode, but it's basically a few different days in the year. If you Google Stuff Your Kindle, you'll find out when it is. But they put loads and loads and loads of Kindle books for free. Great way to fill your Kindle with some books and not spend any money. I've got hundreds on there now and I can't wait to read them all. Does make it a bit harder when you need to come to like working out what you read though, because there's too much choice. But basically, I got sucked into Kindle shopping for accessories and I found these strapsicle things, which are basically like straps that go across your Kindle. And it means that you can hold it in your hand without having to like physically hold it, because I find that it hurts my little finger where I'm resting it. And I find the Kindle just quite an awkward shape because it's quite big. So I really wanted to get these strapsicles that help you to hold your Kindle. I'm now postponing the buying of them. I will be buying them at some point or asking for them for my birthday or something. But the money that I didn't spend on that basket in Amazon, which was £70 in, well, it was $70. I don't know why my Amazon comes up in dollars. It does. It's set to the UK. I don't know what's going on. But the money of that basket, so there was spot stickers in there because I've broken out quite a lot or I've been sick. There was a Kindle case and there was the strapsicle thing. All of those things, I, instead of spending that £70, put the £70 into rich bitch energy, the savings pot. So that means I've now got £70 saved that I could have spent on these Kindle accessories that I don't actually need. I want, but I don't need them. For example, if I go out with a friend and we talk about getting coffee because we're just having a mooch around the shops or something, or say, for example, I go on a walk around a National Trust park or something, because we do that sometimes with family members and dogs, but say there's a coffee place, I, instead of buying that coffee for £4.50 or whatever they come to, they're very expensive now, aren't they? But instead of spending that money, I'm going to put that £4.50 into the savings account. So trying to basically retrain my brain to not seek the dopamine hit from the spending, but seek the dopamine hit from putting it into the savings account. And I'm really intrigued to see how over a month that pot grows, because we're on day 4 so far and I actually thought it would be more than £70 in there so far, but I think as we get more into the new year there probably will be more, because I think over January, the beginning of January, we're still in that kind of lull where it's like first week back to work and New Year's was on a Monday so we had the day off, and it's just a very slow and steady ease into the year. Now, I think next week is when it's going to really start ramping up. And as we get towards the end of the month, that's when I think I'm going to find it really challenging and I'm going to end up putting more and more money into this account. So watch this space. I'll be updating with a YouTube video at the end. So if you want to check out all of the like full ins and outs, I'm documenting daily on TikTok with different bits and pieces for it. And I'm also going to do the YouTube video. Now, the one exception to my no buy, because I know that it's going to come up on my Instagrams and stuff, and I know that someone's going to make a comment about the fact that Jess is doing a no buy and she spent loads of money, I'm changing my car. And that sounds like I'm spending a lot and it sounds like a big expense, but it's in the name of longer term spending less. So my car currently is really expensive. It's a whole story, but I basically got my car, didn't know how much the tax would be every month because I was told it would be a different amount. I wasn't told about how much the servicing would cost and all these different things, which granted, I know I should have looked into it a bit more, but the guy who was selling me the car literally told me that my tax would be one amount. I gave over the rights to my car and put down the money for my new car. And then he told me it was about five times the price of that. So there's a whole lot of things here. But I think I was just so excited by getting my dream car that I didn't think about all these things. And looking back, I don't regret getting my car at all. I love my car so much. And I'm so proud of myself that I was in the position where I could afford to get my dream car. I'm so grateful that I've got it. But now we're getting older. That sounds really stupid, but now we're getting more in towards buying a house and cutting our outgoings and thinking about like financially savvy moves for the future. I just don't want to be spending as much as I'm spending on my current car. So I'm basically going to be trading it in for something that is better fuel economy, cheaper on petrol, cheaper on tax, cheaper on MOT, less likely to break, less likely to be stolen, because that's quite a big one with this. My car insurance is really high because it's the most stolen car in the UK. So I want to just get something that is a little bit less spend happy every month and a little bit less of a worry for me too, because there's nothing more scary than waking up every morning and wondering if your car's on the driveway. So we're basically just cutting the costs back. So I'm basically going for, like I said, something that's just a lot cheaper, that's going to be less money out per month, that's going to save me money on all the other things, and will be a financially savvy change. And I know that sounds really silly, but I had a big money block, and it kind of stemmed from a lot of things I used to have. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And I'm actually excited. I was at first really worried about telling people that I was changing my car, because I thought in my head, I was like, oh God, like people are going to think that I can't afford it. People are going to think that I'm moving back in life, I'm failing, and all these things. But I realized that all of that was just completely in my own head. No one cares what car I drive. I don't even care what car I drive, as long as it's comfortable, gets me from A to B, and doesn't cost me an arm and a leg every time I need to fill it with petrol. So that's one of the things that I'm going to be changing, and changing sooner rather than later, just because I don't want to keep spending out the monthly payments for my car finance at the cost that they are. Like, I want to make that cheaper as quick as possible. So January is going to be the time when I'm changing my car. I've got my eye on a couple of different ones that I'm going to be looking into. Definitely getting secondhand. I don't believe in brand new cars because I just don't see the point. I am quite content getting a secondhand car. And I just think as long as I can dock my monthly payments in half, which I very easily could do, I'm a happy gal. I'm a happy, happy gal. And it means that I can then put that extra money into savings or use it for something a bit more beneficial. So I do actually, and I'm really excited. But yeah, I think it's going to be a very welcome change. I'm really excited to have a different car. I'm really excited to have a little bit more money every month for free. I think, similarly to what I said to you earlier, where I was like, oh, you know, if you cut your subscriptions by £40, you could save that £40. That's what I'm going to be doing with the extra money for the car. So the money that I'm saving, I'm going to be putting towards a savings account every month. But I hope this video was helpful, and I hope you enjoyed hearing why I'm doing a no-buy. I hope it gave you some inspiration to do a no-buy yourself. Maybe it's given you some savings tips, or maybe just given you, if not the want to do a no-buy month, which I think, to be honest, you could start any day of the month. You could start it on the 13th and do it to the 13th. It's totally your call. But I just hope it's given you some inspiration on thinking more about your spending habits and how you can save some money and grow some money at the same time. So if you like this type of episode, let me know. I would be intrigued to maybe do a couple more on saving money, maybe get some people on who are experts in the matter, etc. And just to give some advice, because I think everyone that I'm seeing online is also in their saving money era. Everyone wants to save some pennies. Everyone wants to make sure that we're just being a little bit more savvy with what we're spending. So yeah, how have we enjoyed it? Have we liked it? I feel like I have waffled for about half an hour now, but I really wanted to get all the information out. If you wanted to listen to it in a much more concise way where I'm not waffling to the high heavens, I recommend checking out my YouTube version, or like I said, I've been doing a TikTok series so far where I basically just talk about how I'm doing it, anything that I have learnt and hacks, etc., that I've come across on the way, like, for example, thinking about things like the Starbucks apps and stuff. So if you liked it, let me know. There's going to be some really great guest episodes coming up. However, I am also having a season break. I do want to quickly mention before I round off the episode, I do want to mention there's going to be a season break coming. I don't know the full details of when that's going to be or how long it's going to be for at the moment, but I think the reason I ended up sick is because I burnt out doing too much. So I think we're going to give ourselves a little bit of a pause on the podcast just for a little bit, get some new guest episodes recorded, back some bits up, and then I can come back with a bang and get into it again and plan better, because season one I had all my episodes about 7 ahead of myself every time. This season we've not been doing that, so I'm going to try and just get ahead of myself and just to be a bit more time conscious and just really back up some good guests and come up with some really great episode ideas for you. So yes, the season break will be coming. I don't know how long for, I don't know when, but I will let you know. There is a couple more episodes that I'm going to be putting up before that, so don't worry, it'll be probably in February or something that we do it. But I hope you like the episode, guys. I hope you're having a good new year. I hope you've stuck to your resolutions. I hope you are feeling refreshed, revitalized, and ready to take on 2024 with a bang. And I love you so much. And I'll speak to you in my next episode. Goodbye. Are you loving this podcast and recommending it to everyone you know? Well, let's share the love. Ratings and reviews really help podcasts to be found in search engines, and it just helps new people to find the podcast and enjoy it too. So I'd be really grateful if you could leave a little rating and a review if you could take 5 seconds, and I'll see you in my next episode. Goodbye, guys. Did you know the Good Vibes Club also runs events around the UK? Well, now you do. So if you want to get your hands on a ticket, make sure you head over to thegoodvibesclub.co.uk to search our upcoming events and get on board with something new. Whether you want to make some new friends or try something that you've always wanted to do, come along and join one of our events. And if there's anything that you'd love to do that we aren't doing yet, let us know and we can add it to the list. See you there, guys.